Good morning. We're going to continue the sugya of Shem Yochinam. Hopefully we'll finish this morning. We've discussed over the past few weeks the chiyuvei shmira, when a shomer is responsible to pay, when he's not responsible to pay. This morning we're going to begin with the concept of shlichus yad. A shomer's job is to watch an item. You go away on vacation, you have an item, you're concerned it'll get stolen or lost, you give it to a neighbor or a friend to watch. A shomer does not have the right, or typically does not have the right, to use the item that he's watching. If he does use it, he is a shaleach yad, and at that point, he's going to be completely responsible for the item. Even after he finishes using it, if anything happens, even if it's an oinus, even if it's something that he could not have guarded against, it's completely out of his control. Once he's a shaleach yad, he becomes like a gazlan, and he's going to be have complete responsibility for the item. Even if he doesn't use it, the Mechaber Paskins, if he picks it up with the intent to use it, if the use is something that would cause a hefsid, at that point he becomes a shaleach yad right away, and he's going to be responsible no matter what happens afterwards. Now, there is one very important exception to this idea, and that is the Gemara says if you go away and you give your neighbor money to watch, so if your neighbor is a stama person, so money is like every other object, and he has the regular dinim of a shomer. However, if your neighbor happens to be a banker, so there the halacha is it depends how you give over the money. If you give over the money loose, you just give him a few $1,000 and you leave. Since you know bankers always need money, you know good and well this money is not going to stay in his house the entire time. He will go ahead, he will need it, he will end up using it. And therefore the halacha is a banker is allowed to use the money if it's given to him loose. Masha'enkein, if it's sealed, if it's tied, if it's packaged in a way which makes it clear the owner does not want it touched, then the regular halachas apply. But otherwise, if you give it loose, because a banker always needs money, there's an assumption if you don't want him to use it, you would have to either tell him or package it in a way that makes it clear that he does not want to use it. Now, the Sma brings down from the Mordechai that today we all have a din of bankers. Because today we're not farmers, we don't have fields, everyone's in business. And people in business constantly need capital, they're constantly buying things, they're borrowing money. Therefore, the halacha is everyone has the din of a banker, and if you give someone money to watch, if it's given loose, the halacha is he has the right to use it, he would not have a din of a shaleach yad. So the halacha l'maisa, if you're going away and you want to give your neighbor money to watch, if you just give it to him in an envelope, if it's not sealed, if you don't say anything, halacha is he has the right to use it. Now, besides for the fact that he has the right to use it, and therefore if he does, he is not considered a shaleach yad, even before he uses it, the halacha is he has a din of a shomer sachar. As we've been discussing until now, you give something to a friend to watch, he's doing it as a favor. Because he's not getting paid, he's a shomer chinam, he's a volunteer. So he has very minimal responsibilities. As long as he's not pesheya, as long as he's not negligent, he's not responsible. He has to do a basic shmira. Once he does that, if it gets lost or stolen, he's off the hook. Someone who's actually getting paid to watch the item. So that will, Mirtz Hashem, discuss at length next week. But a shomer sachar has greater chiyuvim. If it gets stolen, if it gets lost, even though he watched it appropriately, the halacha is he's responsible to pay. If you give someone money to watch, even though you're not paying him, but since the halacha is, as we just learned, that unless the money is sealed or packaged in a strange way, he has the right to use it, the ability to use the money, that right, has value. And therefore, by definition, someone who is watching money will never be a shomer chinam. He always is gaining something from this deal because he has the right to use the money if he needs to, and therefore he will automatically have a din of a shomer sachar. So even if it gets lost or stolen, the halacha is when he's a shomer on money, he will be responsible to pay. Now, the truth is, in some cases, So Hishomer Aveda, if someone finds an Aveda, and we discussed in Hilchos HaShavas Aveda, there are circumstances where the person is supposed to sell the Aveda and hold the money for the owner. In that case, he has the right to use the money. In that case, the halacha is it's actually even more chomer. There, not only do you have a din of a shomer sachar, over there you have a din of a shoyel right away. You're responsible not only for gneiva aveda, not only if it gets lost or stolen, but over there, because you have the right to spend the money, it's like you borrowed it right away, and you have complete responsibility even for an oinus. So why is this different? Why in this case are you only a shomer sachar? Why in this case, are you responsible for gneiva aveda but not for oinsin? So if you hear the Sma explains, there's a basic difference. When you find a lost object, so in all likelihood, you don't know when or if you're going to find the owner. So if you have cash that you have the right to spend, so a person will not hesitate. You don't expect the owner to come back. Anyway, you're doing him a favor. You're being meshav aveda. So you'll spend it pretty freely. And if and when he comes to claim it, at that point, you'll worry about repaying him. Because it is very easy and for a person to spend it, there's nothing holding him back. He has a din of a shayel. He's responsible even for einzin. Mashenkin, in this case, it's your next door neighbor that gave you the money. You know good and well he can come any day and ask for it back. So although the halacha is you have the right to spend it, over here people are not going to be so quick to spend it because they know they will shortly have to give it back. So there, it's enough of a schar, there's enough of a benefit that you have the din of a shomer sachar, you're responsible if it gets lost or stolen, but einzin, you're still going to be pater on. And then Stevis adds that if you send someone, if you give someone money, you ask them to buy something for you, you send a shliach. So here he says, halacha is a bit different. Here, if you give him money and say, go to the store, go buy this for me, it's clear the owner's intention was go to the store, buy it, and bring it back to me. In that case, you would not have the right to go ahead and spend the money for yourself on the way. And there you have a very limited mandate. It's a very limited amount of time. There this halacha would not apply. You would not be able to spend it. But in other cases, if, for example, if someone owes you money and you send a shliach to go pick it up, so if on the way back he wants to go ahead and spend it, this halacha would apply. Now the Beis Meir in Eben Ezer Siman Tzadi or Siftes says a very nice chiddush. He says, what is special about a banker? Bankers, we say, are allowed to spend the money. Mashenkin, a regular balabayas, at least back then, was not allowed to spend the money. What's the difference? The difference is a banker always needs capital. He's always lending, he's always changing money. And therefore, if you don't want him to spend it, you have to tell him or you have to package it in a way that shows you don't want him to touch it. Now, what happens if you give someone money to watch? He's not in business, but he's an ani. He has some need for the cash. He has a bill to pay, and he wants to spend it. Zuck the base mayor over here, Lukulayama, he does not have the right to spend it. Because the whole chiluk in the Gemara is that bankers need money for their business. People who are farmers don't. Now, there's no rule back then that bankers or that farmers or bankers were poorer than the rest of the population. The point is not that someone who's poor is allowed to spend the money because he needs it. The point is if his entire business is borrowing, lending capital. So if you give him the cash, you're giving him permission to use it for his business unless you specify otherwise. Mashenkin, if you give it to someone who is not involved in business, but he has a bill to pay. So the fact that he needs the money is not a heter to spend it. It's only if that's his entire career, that's his parnasa, that's his business, there giving it to such a person is giving him license to use it. But if it's not his parnasa, the fact that he simply needs the cash is not a heter. And based on that, the Yeshua's Malkei Paskins, that a person gave, he went away, he gave a friend money to watch. This friend was a younger man. Who's learning in Kail? So the fellow wanted to spend it based on our halacha. Our halacha is that today everyone is assumed to be like a banker and he can spend the money. Zakti Yeshua's Malachi, nothing doing. Because the whole heter is if that's your business, so when the owner gave it to you, it's as if he gave you permission to invest it and to use it for your business. Mashenkin, if the person does not have a business, he's learning in Koyl, he's a Rebbe, he's not investing for his parnasa, so there this heter would not apply, and you would not be able to use it, and a person who does use it would be considered a shaleach yad. Yeah, no, it's only money because a car there's wear and tear. Any item that when a person uses it, it's at risk. Mashenkein money is fungible. No one cares about this dollar bill or this $10 bill. As long as they get the money back, then they're fine with that. So it's specifically by money. A regular item you do not have the right to use under normal circumstances. Again, there are extreme cases. There are some items where no one is ever makbid on. So there, the Shach and the Tzman, some Reish Sadebeis have a discussion. There are certain things that we've mentioned before, that even if you're not a shomer, there are certain things which you know, if you know someone is okay with you using, you may have the right to use it without his permission. But if it doesn't rise to that level, a car, which certainly does not, then you would not be able to use it, and if a person does use it, he would be a shaleach yad. So Meikar Hadin, the Medina de Gemara, the only time this heter applies is a banker. Because a banker is someone who always needed capital for his business, for his profession, Mashenkin, other people were assumed not to. However, the Mordechai Paskins and the Sma and the Shach both quote it that today your typical Balabas, because we don't have farms, we're all people who are soicherim, people who are businessmen, always need money, they always have cash flow issues, and therefore the same halacha would apply. If he is a professional, if he's a dentist, who there's no, you know, it's, that perhaps would be different. Okay, now what happens if a person has a pikadon? He has money to watch, he goes ahead, he spends it like he has the ability to do so. And the owner comes back. The owner says, okay, I'm back. Very nice, you have the right to spend the money, but now I need it back. So I'll pay din, it's pashut, you have to return it right away. What happens if the shomer refuses to do so? So over here, the halacha is that normally, that if by the shomer not returning the item, he causes the owner loses the has a loss, or case of the Ramah is he had a lucrative investment opportunity, and because you didn't return the capital to him, he wasn't able to make that investment. He wasn't able to earn the income that he would have had you done what you were supposed to. Now, in this case, typically, the halacha is you'd be pater. Because this is a halacha of mevatel kisei shel chaveiro. We've discussed many times the concept of mazik. The normal case of mazik is you take a brick, you smash someone's window. You broke his window, you caused him a loss, you have to pay. The next level is a concept of garmi, where you don't do a direct action, but through what you did, you cause him a loss, you're soyer shtoros shel chaveiro, you burn his shtar. You by doing that, you're not burning his money, but because you've destroyed his contract, because you've destroyed his promissory note, he's now unable to collect it. That's garmi, and in general, you're going to be chayav on garmi. Over here, what you've done is you haven't caused it directly a loss. You've prevented him from earning a profit. This is a lower level. This is mevata kisa shel chaveiro. And here, the Yerushalmi and the Paskins, that you are not chayav bidei adam. Many say there's a chiyuv lotzei sidei shamayim, because you've caused a loss, or at least you've caused him to lose the opportunity to earn profits, bidei shamayim, you should pay. But Bezdin cannot enforce it because there is no direct loss. Zok the Ramah, there's an exception. And that is, it's one thing if through your actions, someone's not able to make a profit. You know, he's going somewhere to invest, and somehow you stop him from investing. Therefore, he is less wealthy today than he would have been had you not done your action. So, Dr. Ramah, this case is worse. Because this case, the capital that he needed to invest, you went ahead and you used it for yourself. So it's not just that you did something and because of that he couldn't invest. You took that money that he wanted to invest for himself and you used it for your own purposes. In this case, the Ramah Paskins, it's based on a Mordechai, and some Sefer Paskins like this as well. In this case, if there was a clear profit the owner could have earned, and you went ahead and said you invested it, you made that profit, the Ramah says in such a case, you would be responsible to pay for the hefset. Correct. So the Achroinim are troubled what the pshat over here is. There are different pshatim. One of the pshatim is it's ochal chasron yishol zeh. That the halacha is by zeh nehen v'zeh lechaser, you're going to be you're potter. If in a case where you are eating, you are directly benefiting. It doesn't have to have a din of hanoah, but if you are directly benefiting from the other person's loss, that is more chomer. In other words, if you live in someone's house where you're a loy nene because you had another house to live in, but you cause someone a loss, there the rif paskins is ochel chisroin yishel zeh. Had you just locked the door of the house, you'd be patur, that's a grama. But now that you were there, you went in instead, and you lived, you took the use that he could have made earned money off, that's more chomer, and there you're going to be chayiv. You don't have to benefit. It's called because you're taking it from him. It's more to a din masik. Bishloim if you do something and therefore you're just cause he now you stop him from taking using the opportunity to profit. That's a grum. Mashkin, if you're taking that use and that use is something that he would have earned money off, that's called achol chesron yishel zeh. And what? No. So if it's a suffix, everyone agrees you're potter. The case had to be. There was a guy ready to borrow money and give him a mashkin, give him collateral. It has to be a clear, if there's any risk, then this halacha will not apply. The mashal that argues in this entire halacha says there's no such thing as a guaranteed profit. Right. Now, the Chassam Sofer from the Ramah paskin yur chayiv. It has to be a clear case. You would have earned the money, but but in such a case, they say yur chayiv. The mashal argues, the Nachas Tzvi happens to say, you can always say kimli. That you're never going to be able to force the person to pay because you'll always be able to say nothing's guaranteed. There always is some level of risk, and therefore you're going to be potter. Lots of day shemayim, there still will be a chiyuv, but for bezin to force you to pay, since it's just a grama and it's a minyasa revach, you're not going to be able to do that. Now, going back to the regular din of shomer, we've learned that a shomer is responsible. A shomer chinam, if you're a volunteer, you're responsible if you're negligent. If you leave the door open, the item gets lost, it gets stolen. When you're clear negligence, you're responsible to pay. Now, this leads us to a very basic problem. What happens every time you give a shomer something to watch, and you go away? You come back, you ask for him to return the item, and he says, "I'm very sorry, but I was very careful with the item. I watched it I guarded it well. But one night, someone broke into the house, and it's gone." So the owner says, it's a very nice story, but how do I know that it's true? What happens next? Do you just take his word for it? Now, normally, what's the halacha? Normally, there's a fight between two people. One of them says, I'm potter, it's not my fault, I know it has happened. The other one says that you should be responsible. So the general rule is, whenever there's a malchikis, the general rule is, hamoitzi mechaveil alvaraya. The person who's holding on to the money can basically say, until you can prove otherwise, I'm holding on to the money, I say I'm putter, goodbye. If you want to be mighty mammon, you want to force someone to pay, you have the burden of proof.
In today's day and age, where you're insured, and if somebody breaks into your house, can't you put a claim onto your insurance company and then he may have, who's responsible?
Okay, so that's a great question. It's a great question we'll have to address. In theory, insurance is a completely separate issue. Because if I give you something to watch and you're my shomer, so you have responsibility to me as a shomer. Let's say you're a shomer chinam and it gets stolen. You can say, I'm shomer chinam, you have no responsibility. Now, if you can put in a claim to your insurance company and they're willing to cover you for my item, which they probably won't, but that's between you and the insurance company. And in theory, you should be able. You can tell me your potter because it was an oinus. You can tell your insurance company you have a policy they have to pay you, and perhaps you can pocket the difference. Now this brings us to a sugya of ketzad alois eschayir b'parosu shachaveri, which we'll have to discuss another week. But it's really two separate issues. Your insurance doesn't change your obligations to me as a shomer. So going back, we have a basic problem. Every time you give something an item to watch, how do you prove what happened? What's stopping him from just saying it got stolen, it got lost, I'm an oinus, what do you want from me? And how are you ever going to prove that he was really negligent? How are you ever going to actually force him to pay? So here we have two halachas. The first halacha of Isi ben Yehuda is that if the shomer comes back with a story and says that, you know, I was watching the item, you gave it to me, I was bringing it, you gave it to me in the office, you asked me to watch it in my house. On my way home, I was walking down the street, I got robbed at gunpoint, the item's gone. Over here, the halacha is, if you claim that something happened in a place where people should have seen, where people should know about what happened, there should be witnesses, the halacha is, you have no ne'amonos unless you can produce witnesses. In such a case, we shift the burden of proof. Because your story doesn't make sense that this happened, and you wouldn't have people, there wouldn't be people that know about it, you have to actually produce the witnesses. If you claim that you didn't take down the names of the witnesses, you forgot who they are, they all went overseas, some sort of claim like that, the halacha is you're not believed, and you have to pay. Anytime it's something which the presumption is people know about it, there's an edim, there's a call, the halacha is you have to produce those witnesses, otherwise you're going to have to pay, even though the owner has no evidence, even though the owner doesn't know whether your story is true or not, simply because if there are witnesses, you have an obligation to bring it, and you have the burden of proof. No, a shvul will not help. In a case where, based on your story, there should be witnesses. The Gemara has one case where Shliach bought wine, 400 barrels, and it was all spoiled. So this is the kind of thing which if the wine had spoiled, people would hear about it. There's a kol, people should know about it. People should know about it, you are not believed with the shvuah. You actually have to produce the witnesses.
What level does it come
to? It's something which b'makom roya, something which people would or should know about it. At that point, you have to bring witnesses. Now this is a very rare case. Typically, when you have a shomer, he's watching something in his house, in the privacy of his house. If he gets robbed or someone breaks into the house, there's really no witnesses or no way for people to know about it. So in a typical case, the ikar halacha is that there's a concept of a shvuah sashomer. A shomer who claims that he guarded it correctly and something happened has to make a shvuah. He has to swear about what happened. He has to swear what happened, that it got lost, it got stolen. He has to swear that he watched it correctly, that he was not pesheya, because as we learned, if he is pesheya, tchilasa pesheya of sevi bainis, he would be typically responsible for whatever happened afterwards. But he has to make a shvuah, even though the owner has no proof, even though the owner is a shema, he doesn't know what happened. Still, in this case, the Torah says you can't just say amaytze mechadei avaraya. There's a responsibility to make a shvuah. The shomer has to swear that he did everything that he was supposed to. It was nenas. It no longer has it, and he was never shaleach yad on the item.
So, in other cases, it's like times in a case where
the shvuah again. It's learned out of a pasuk. When there are edim b'makom roya, the halacha is you have to bring edim. That's the din of isi ben Yehuda. When there are no edim, in a normal case of a shomer, the Torah created a chiyuv shvuah. And there, the shomer has to make a shvuah. If he does not want to make a shvuah, or if he cannot make a shvuah, for example, there's a discussion about a case, a person had an item, he watched it very, it was locked in his house, it was guarded carefully. At one point, one day, he left the door open, where he invited someone into the house, which he didn't want to. A few days later, the owner came for the item, and it was gone. Now, in that case, we have no idea when it was stolen. Was it stolen during that one period where he was negligent? Or perhaps it got stolen beforehand? Now, if it was stolen beforehand, he's potter. He's a shomer chinam. He watched it correctly. He's potter on Kenev Aveda. If it got stolen during that period that he left the door open, he'd be responsible. Since the shomer has no way of knowing, he has no idea, he cannot get up in Beis Din and make a shvuah that he was not negligent. Since he cannot make a shvuah, the halacha is mitoich, he is going to have to pay. So anytime the shomer cannot make a shvuah or does not want to make a shvuah, he is going to have to pay the full value of the item. Now this creates a serious problem today. As many people know, today people do not make shvuahs in Beis Din. The Chazam Sofer in Siman Tzadik discusses why. But a shvuah is, even if you know that it is true, it is something which is extremely chomer, and people refrain from making shvuahs even if they know that they're right. The problem is, how every shomer, is going to have a problem now, because anytime anything happens, even if it's nanas, even though he guarded it correctly, if he has no edim, which he probably will not have, if he's not willing to make a shavua, and especially today the Bate Din will very often not even let him make a shavua, so he's stuck. There's halach of mitoich. So the truth is, this is really a problem in any din Torah that you have. A typical din Torah today is very different than what a din Torah used to look like, b'mei Chazal, or even b'mei the earlier Kadmoinim. If you go through the tshuvas that discuss Chosh and Mishpat Shailos, most of the tshuvas are usually about, the biggest discussion is, who has a chiyuv shvua? Because if you think about it, whenever there's a fight between two people, so sometimes you have witnesses, but that's fairly rare, because to have witnesses, you need two witnesses, or kashal edus, who are not negev adavar, they have no vested interest, and they can directly testify what happened. It happens, but it's fairly rare. So what happens in a typical din Torah? Two people will come in. One person will have one story. The other person will be makashit. He'll have another story. So the ikar tool that a bezdin has to figure out who's telling the truth and to figure out what really happened is a shvuah. You figure out who is chayav to make a shvuah. Sometimes it's the teveya. Sometimes it's the nitva. Sometimes it's a shvuah d'araisa. Sometimes it's a shvuah d'rabbanan. Bezdin simply paskins who has to make a shvuah. And at that point, the person, if he's willing to swear, he's going to win the din Torah. If he's afraid to swear, which people were typically would not make a shvua if it was not completely true, so then he would have to be moida, he'd have to admit what happened, and everything would be fine. Today, Batei Din do not have this tool. And that is why Batei Din today very often will have to sort of play detective. They'll have to interrogate the parties. They'll have to do drisha v'chakira and try to come up with a hashara of what actually happened. And the reason why they're forced to do that is that they've been deprived of the main tool of a shvua, of figuring out what happened. So what do you do when there is a chiyuv shvua? So the minhag, it was actually a takana of the Dalet HaRatzos, was to make a pshara. That if a person has a chiyuv to make a shvua, since making a shvua is something which is a davar chamor and people do not want to do, the takana was to be mafasher a shlish. That if you have a shomer, he says, "I guarded it correctly. I'm ready to make. I really shouldn't make a shvua." Bezdin will say, "Since al pidin you have a chiyuv to make a shvua d'araisa, you don't want to make a shvua. We don't want you to make a shvua. Instead, we will make a pshara. You will pay a third of the claim, and you'll be potter." Cases where it's a nijbav and oitel, there are some cases where the plaintiff has the right to make a shvua, and after the shvua, the defendant has to pay the full claim. There are certain cases where that happens. So there also, we have the similar halacha. We say, don't make the shvua. Instead of taking your two-thirds, instead of making a claim on the entire amount, we'll knock down a third, you'll get two-thirds of the money, and you will not have to make a shvua. Now, I think what your question is that this could lead to chaos. We now have a very, very nice business model. Go over to your friend and say, you owe me $3 million. Okay, the halacha is, he makes a shvua. It's not a shvua d'araisa, it's a shvua d'rabbanan. He says, l'hadam, I don't know what you're talking about. I never met you. I never borrowed a dime. So you say, okay, let's go to Bezdin. Bezdin will make a pshara. You'll pay a shlish. You give me $1 million, and I'll settle for $1 million. Obviously, that's not going to work. So what the Poskim say, there's a Divrei Malkiyo, the Digrei Moshe, that also says a similar point. They say that this concept of a shlish is not an ironclad rule. It's not a din, it's not a gezeiras hakasev, it's not a takano. The shlish is just a baseline figure. However, the point is not a shvua is worth a shlish. He said, for example, let's say a person comes in, and it's pretty clear to the bezin he's not telling the truth. But he says, you know what? I'm ready to make a shvua that it's true. Bezin is not going to let him make a shvua. They'll make a pshara. What is the value of a shvua if you know the shvua is not true? It's a lot more than a shlish, because he's going to make a shvua sheker. There, the bezin has the right to be mefasher on kamat the entire amount, because they are stopping him, kefi der oimer hadas, they are preventing him from making a shvua sheker. On the other extreme, you have some cases where this whole shvua you see is not really, it's just a person, a manufactured claim. You see there's no basis for the claim. It's just a person trying to extort money. So he says there, in that case, where the shvua is clearly true, and al pidin, there's no reason for him not to make a shvua. There's no suffix. There's nothing questionable. It's just the person making a claim. There he says the pshara, you know, that kind of shvua may have either minimal or no value. And he bez them will love dafka, certainly will not be a mafashar or shlish, and probably will not make a pshara for anything significant.
If the guy denies that he ever got anything, then the shvua comes to be raised, he was a shomer.
Well, the shvua shomerim is only when he admits he's a shomer and he claims it was lost. Something happened to it. That's shvua shomerim. However, there is a shvua hesis, nothing to do with hilchos shomer, that any time a person makes a claim and you are a kofer bakol, you say it never happened. I don't know who you are. I never got it from you. I never borrowed money from you. There is a shvua derabanan, a shvua hesis. But a shvua hesis, when the Bezdin does not see any grounds or any basis for it, they are certainly not going to be mefasher or shlish, and they will likely not be mefasher anything if they think that it's untrue. So
is
old,
shlish is more the case of shum and not shvua hesis?
Yeah, so a shlish pashas is by a shvua deraisa. By a shvua derabanan, they will do less. And the point of the Divrei Malkiel is that even these numbers are not hard numbers. The Bezdin will very much take a look at what happened. If they really don't know what happened, there's svaras lakan ulakan, so then the baseline number is a shlish. If the shomer says, I'm really prepared to make a shvua, and the Bezdin has no idea what happened, then a shlish is the baseline. But if Bezdin has a hashara that, again, it's a frivolous claim, or they believe the shomer is lying, then they will adjust this pshara number accordingly. It's, I can't really answer for other bate then, because this is, if you look at the Shtar Brurin, they generally gives the dayanim the right to use their oimet hadas, to use their judgment and their discretion. One of the reasons why that's there in the Shtar Brurin is for this kind of situation, where technically al pidin there's a chiyuv shvua, and technically al pidin if he says I'm ready to make a shvua, he should be potter, or again depending on the case. So when you give the dayanim the discretion and the pshara, peshakar of ledin, they have the right to adjust the number based on the facts in front of them and how confident they are that this person is actually telling the truth.
Does he also have to have proof that he had something that was $3 million? You can't just come in and say, hey, you know what?
A regular kofer bakol, if someone says, I lent you money, there were no witnesses, and you owe me money, and you say,
well, I never had, you know, anyone.
So normally, people do lend money without witnesses. I know that $3 million, but people do lend money. There is a chiyuv shvuas hesis. Again, it's a chiyuv derabanan, but there is a person simply denies what happened. Although midoraisa is a kofer bakol, he's potter, but midrabanan, you can imagine, people don't have witnesses. You do business with someone. He comes into your store, he buys merchandise. If you don't have witnesses, so what? That means you're stuck. That means you have no recourse whatsoever. So over there is a takano, there's a shvuas hesis, as long as you're a bari, you have the right to be mashbiyah. Okay, so now I'd like to go through briefly. There are a number of exceptions to the concept of to chiyuvim of shmirah. These are gzeiros hakasuvs. Just like to go through them briefly, so we have at least have an idea of what the exceptions are. The first is the din of baal avima. Now baal avima we'll discuss at length in hilchos she'ela. But it applies to all the shomer. If the owner is working for the shomer at the time that the fellow begins to watch the item, that is called baal of ima. The owner is ima b'malachta. He's working for the shomer, and in that case, the chiyuvei shmira do not apply. If your boss, if you ask your boss to watch something for you, and it gets lost, even if he's negligent, even if he's pesheya, you are not going to force him to pay. First of all, because you'll lose your job. But putting that aside, as long as the owner was even, since the boss is the shomer, the owner is working for him at the time of he became a shomer, the halacha is, imay b'malachta is going to be potter, the chiyuvei shmira do not apply. Baal of imay depends at the moment when he becomes a shomer. Even if the fellow fires you afterwards, Still, since when you gave it to him to watch, when he became a shlemim, it was imi b'malachdoi, the chiyuvei shmiro do not apply. Now, the next exception is, the Gemara says that the chiyuvim of shmiro apply only to metaltalin. Karka, to real estate, are not subject to the rules of shmiro. Now, what that means is that if you go away and you ask someone to watch your house, or same thing is true by a shayel. Someone borrows your house you're on vacation. They borrow your house for a few days. They are negligent. The house burns down. So the halacha is, even if you became a shemer, you made the proper kinyonim, the halacha is you would be pater. Because ein shmir lekarkois, the din of shmir does not apply to real estate, even a house. Most places can say would be the same thing because it's attached to the ground. And therefore, you will not have the regular dinei shmirah. Now, technically, what that means is that if you are a landlord, you have a tenant that rents a house, that rents an apartment from you, and they are negligent, and through their negligence, they cause damage, the halacha is you should be pater. Now, if they go ahead, they're mazik b'yadayim, they go ahead, they punch a hole in the wall, so that has nothing to do with halacha shmirah. That's a mazik, that's an adam ha-mazik. Just same way if I walk into your house and I'm mazik and I have to pay, a shomer is not worse than that. However, if they're not a mazik b'yadayim, they just leave the house, they leave it wide open, and if there's a bear or a deer walks into the house and damages it, or for that matter, their children come in and their children cause damage, so they're not an adam ha-mazik, they're not mazik b'yadayim. The only way to get them is as a shomer. They had a responsibility to guard the property and they did not guard it. But because you're dealing with karka, the halacha is, me'ikar hadin, you'd be pater. Now that being said, today, when a person signs a lease, they generally, the leases were always, all the leases contain in it some clause where it says clearly, the tenant accepts responsibility for the premises. So in that case, although as far as halacha shmira, you're going to be pater, the halacha is, it's a davar sheba mamon. If the parties agree to accept responsibility, even though the halacha shmira do not apply, so if they accept responsibility, they make an appropriate kinyan, they're going to be liable. So today, the leases, the contract that they sign that says that the tenant is responsible for any damage that happens, that will be a kinyan, and therefore they'll be responsible to pay, nothing to do with halacha shmira, it'll be just an independent chiyuv. So even though Maker Hadin, there's no shmir on karka and you should be pater. Today, where every single lease says the tenant accepts responsibility, that would create a minhug. And minhug mavatal halacha, in such a case, there's an assumption when you rent a house, unless you specify otherwise, you're obligating yourself to the normal minhug. Now, you still will need a kinyan. Because this is not something which is mikra hadin, you need a kinyan in order to accept these responsibility. But moving into the house, probably the chazaka, that's probably enough of a kinyan to create all the obligations of the chiyuvim that are understood by both parties. So I think today you'd be chayiv regardless. So this is the halacha of karka. Now going back, we mentioned 2 weeks ago a story where a person borrowed a house, someone used it, they put a hot plate down on the countertop, and they burnt a hole. So the person who put the hot plate down is probably responsible as an adam hamazik, because by putting it down on the countertop, turning on the hot plate, they're probably responsible for adam hamazik. However, if that person skipped town, and you want to be mechayev the middle person, the one that actually borrowed the house for his use, for that other person's use, so there you're dealing with the chiyuvim of a shomer, of a shayel. Because it is karka, the chiyuvim she'elo would not apply, and mikra hadin, he would be potter. And the next exclusion, the Gemara says, is that not only is karka excluded from the din of shmira, shtaros are excluded as well. If you have a shtar, you have a promissory note, and you give it to someone to watch, and it gets lost, he's not responsible for the damage. It's not metaltalin, it's not gufay mamon, and therefore the din of shmira do not apply. That means if you work for a bank, you're the one that you're in charge of the documents, and you misplace it. Now the documents are lost, The borrowers all find out about it. They all default in their mortgages. The shomer is pater because it's shtaros. It has a dinner. It's smite from the parsha of Shmira. Based on this, Pesach Choshen adds, what happens if you give someone a check to watch? A check is not money. A check is essentially a shtar choif. It's at best, it's an IOU note. It's a way to get money or to collect this money from the bank. It's ein guf ay mamon. It has no intrinsic value. Because it has no intrinsic value, it would not have the dinei shmira. And therefore, if someone gives you a stack of checks to watch, if the person is pesheya, gets lost, it gets stolen, then the halacha is he would not be responsible. In Eretz Yisrael, there are some that treat it more, more chomer. I don't know if they would call it gufei mamon. That would be if they make it a din of mamrani. I don't know. I don't think they would call it gufei mamon. Now, based on that, there's an Imre Yoshua that has a peladik achidish. He says banknotes have the same din. He says paper currency. When currencies were gold or silver, it was real. It had intrinsic worth. There's the concept of shmir will apply. However, a banknote or a paper currency, which is just a claim against the government, he suggests would also have a din of ein gufei mamon, and he says perhaps you would not even have a din shmira on money. Most places can argue on this Imre Yosher. I think especially today, where the money is not, you can't go over to the Federal Reserve and cash it in for gold or for silver. It's not an IOU note. So what it is a good question. But I think most places today will treat money as gufei mamon, even if it is paper money, and therefore most places will say that you're chayiv. Now the last exception, which we'll go through briefly, is the Gemara says hegdish is nismayit from the din of shmira. If you're watching something that belongs to hegdish, the chiyuvei shmira do not apply. And hu hadin, although for a slightly different reason, if you have money that belongs to tzedakah, if a person nadvin gives money to the gabbai tzedakah to distribute, the gabbai loses the money. So the halacha is lishmar v'loy l'chalik. The din of shmira is someone gives you something to watch. When he's finished watching it, he's supposed to return it to you. In that case, if he's negligent, he doesn't return it to you. He's responsible to pay. Masha'enkein, if the gabbai was given money, and he's not going to return it to the nadvin, he's going to now distribute it to various aniyim based on his discretion. There, the Gemara says lishmar v'loy l'chalik, the chiyuvei shmiru do not apply, and therefore halacha l'maaseh, if a gabbai loses money that belongs to tzedakah, if he's negligent, he's pesheya, so you would probably fire him. Someone who is in charge of Mois Tzibur, who is negligent, you're misalik him. But as far as making him pay for as a shomer, there the halacha is lishmar v'lo l'chalik. He will not be. You cannot be mechayev him to pay.
And the part of shkolim, when the business is shkolim, if he loses it before they took out coronas, he's chayev. I mean, he's not giving it. He's giving it to the base of Mikdash to bring.
Okay, hold on. So there are two. We'll get back to that in a minute. So that getting a percentage at most will make him into a shomer sachar, but if halacha is there's no din of shmira, if lishmar v'loy l'chalak, he'd still be potter. Now there are two important exceptions to this halacha, which we'll go through briefly. The first is that many poskim say that this is only a din that bezin cannot force him to pay. Lotzei sidei shemayim, there would be an obligation, but it's not enforceable. The second point, and this is a machlokes, but the Nesiva says that the case is only where you're given money to distribute to aniyim. Since you're not the person who gave it to you is not asking for it back, he's expecting you to pass it along to other people, to the aniyim. That we have a drasha of lishmar v'loy l'chalik, you're going to be pater. However, what happens if you have a gabbai tzedakah? He has money and he gives it to you to watch, but he's not making you into a gabbai. You're going to watch it, and then you're going to return it to the gabbai, who will distribute it to the aniyim. In this case, the Nesiva says, this halacha will not apply. This ptur is only when the shomer is the one that's actually distributing the money. Since he's receiving it from one person, giving it out to others, that lishmar v'loy l'chalak. However, if you have a moistid stucco that has funds and they give it to the gabbai to hold on to, or they give it to someone to hold on to, but he's not the one that will actually disperse the funds, there the halach will be different, and there the nesivah says that you're going to be chayiv. Not everyone agrees to this. Pesachei Tshuva brings down from the Chavos Yar and the Shiva Siyah that you'd be potter. But al kol panim, according to the nesivah, in such a case, then the chiyuvim would apply. It's only when you actually have the right to distribute it. One last exception, this is from the Gemara, this is only when the gabbai can distribute it to whoever he chooses. He has a certain amount of discretion. However, if it's earmarked for a specific ani, or if it's earmarked for a specific set of aniyim, where everyone's getting a specific amount, there this halacha will not apply. Which means that if you give a gabbai money, there's a tragedy in town, and the gabbai collects for a specific ani or a specific family, there this halacha will not apply. Because there already, it's bailim yaduim. There, as soon as he's accepting on behalf of that specific ani, at that point it's like privately owned money, and the gabbai will be responsible. This patur is only when it's a general fund that can be distributed to anyone who the gabbai chooses, or at least a wide class without set amounts of the set disbursements. In that case, this patur would apply.